Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I'm trudging this heavy sack. There's a pickup truck, so they're probably in Texas, a pickup truck that drove by and the driver saw him, and so the driver pulls over and says, "Hey, man, you want to hop in the pickup truck?" And he's like, "Yeah, that would be helpful. This sack is heavy." And so he goes and get into the pickup truck, but the cab was full, so the driver says, "Just hop in the back." So he hops in his back, and the driver gets in, and they start making their way towards the town, the places that they were going. And then at one point, the driver looks in the rearview mirror, and he sees that the old man is sitting down in the pickup truck, but he still has the heavy sack slung over his shoulder. And so the driver's like, "What is he doing?" So he pulls over, and he looks at the old man, and he's like, "Dude, you're silly. Why are you still holding the heavy sack? Why do you still have that over your shoulders?" He's like, "My pickup truck is not only able to carry you, but my pickup truck is also already carrying the weight. There is no need for both you and my pickup truck to be carrying a weight that is easily able to be carried by my truck." See, I think in some ways this is how you and I and many people can live a life where we have the opportunity before us to actually let go of the heavy burdens and the heavy weights that we've picked up in our life. And there's an opportunity before each and every one of us through Jesus Christ to actually let go of those weights and let go of those burdens. But sometimes, even as believers, you and I can get so used to walking around with the weight and the burdens of our life and the way of life that we were living before accepting Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior, and we can actually get so used to or familiar with the weight and the burdens that we're used to carrying around that we actually still holding on to certain burdens that Christ is saying, "Hey man, I have taken the weight of the world. I've actually told you to let go of these burdens, to be free from them, and to live in a new way of life." There's many reasons why you and I might still be holding on to the burdens of life. And sometimes it can literally just be because we're familiar with them. We're so familiar with a pace of life that when we accept Christ into our life, He's just added on into our calendar. And then the pace of our life continues on where it's so frantic and so hectic that we're still going at the pace of life. And it's like we are walking through this revolving door of life, and Jesus is actually standing outside being like, "Would you stop? Would you just stop? Would you just come through the door and actually have some peace? Sit down and actually be at rest." See, there's a way of living that Jesus Christ invites every single one of us into that I believe He reveals in His Word, and that invitation is right here before you and me. It's right before other people in our life. And one of the greatest things that you and I need to realize, not only is that we are called to live in this way of life, but when we live in this way of life, other people will begin to see that there's a different way of living. See, this old man held on to his heavy weight even though there was already something that was able to carry the weight that he was used to. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's the invitation that Jesus Christ gives to all people? It's an invitation of eternal rest. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." The invitation is wide open. It's like the driver in his own decision who pulled over and asked the old man in his moment, "Would you get in? Could you allow me to actually take you someplace? And not just to get where you think you want to go quicker and easier, but so that you can offload the weight that you've been carrying." The invitation is open to everyone. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." His invitation isn't to just those that look like they are holy or that they're doing the good things that they should be doing or the right things. No, the invitation of Jesus is for all. That's one of the greatest pieces of hope that you and I take in salvation in Christ, and what he invites us to in his word is for all. That itself should allow you to just take a little bit bigger of a breath.
Yeah.
Context, Jesus speaking to a group of Jews who had grown up in their life, being told that the only way to earn righteousness with God was by striving. There's the law of Moses that had been given to the people of God and it had been handed down from generation to generation. And when Jesus comes in the flesh, now for over hundreds of years, not only did they have the law of Moses, but at the day and time, what began to happen is the religious leaders began to add on more religious rituals and traditions that the people needed to carry. And so Jesus is coming to a point where people were so used to carrying the weight of strict religious obedience that what he's saying, we hear that and we can maybe understand that a little bit, but I think for us to fully understand maybe some things in our life that we haven't yet let go of, we need to understand the greater context of maybe what is being felt and imagined and spoken into in the moment. So would you just imagine with me for a moment if for hundreds of years you are now at a point where your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-great-grandfather, and so forth and so on have passed down a tradition and an observance where when you wake up, you go through the day, and at night, your entire life is about work and striving, and not just to put food on the table, but to try and become acceptable to God. So Jesus is speaking in the midst of this scenario, and he's speaking not with just people sitting in chairs listening to him, but actually in an environment where it's like possibly a marketplace. There's a street, there's a hustle, and there's a bustle of things going on. And so when I hear these words, I can just even imagine there's people walking by and I'm like, what is going on over there? Another guy, he's got some new teaching. Okay, and there's people that are going about the hustle and the bustle. There's some Jews and religious leaders that are before him. And so Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can just imagine a bit of a hush that happens. And even some of the potential responses and reactions of the people. I can just imagine people pushing a cart full of hay and all of a sudden stop and be like, labor and heavy laden? I'm carrying something heavy right now. Rest? Yeah, that's a scam. There's no thing as rest. That's just an excuse for lazy people. Because if I rest, I'm going to get behind. I'm not going to be able to have food for my family. If I rest, I'm going to miss an opportunity to get ahead and get to the next stock exchange opportunity or to get a promotion at work or to upgrade my trolley, my big thing of hay that I've got here. I can just imagine some people hearing that and being like, scam, there's no such thing as rest, continuing on. I can imagine other people being like, that's a good idea, man, carpenter, but it's a little bit of an illusion. Like, who is even this guy over here? I'm a fisherman. How can a fisherman tell me that if I go to him, he's going to give me rest for my fishing business? This guy is ludicrous, he's crazy, he's probably got some nuts loose in his head. It's an illusion because there's no such thing as rest, because all that I've ever known is labor and work, and all that I've ever known in my family is labor and work. And so really good thought, carpenter.
Yeah.
Probably pretty easy sitting in your chair chipping away at some wood. Come clean my fishing nets. I can imagine the religious leaders in that moment thinking, this is absolute heresy. How can a man begin to speak in a way that seems divine? How could a man say that he can take the place of what we have to do as humans? Keeping the law, striving, going through religious rituals day in and day out, sacrificing animals. How can this human begin to say something that's divine? I just begin to imagine a little bit of bitterness and jealousy and resentment that begins to come in the religious leader's heart, because what they've been telling the people now for decades, a man is telling them something different. And yet at the same time, I can just hear the hush faith beginning to rise in people, a little bit of hope that maybe someone didn't have before. When they hear the word rest, I can just imagine someone just like taking in a fresh breeze on a scorching hot day and being like, rest? Could it be from my labor, from being heavy laden, from trying to earn a good reputation, trying to be a good Jewish boy? Could it be rest? Can you just imagine hope that begins to rise as Jesus says, come to me, all the labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is open to all. What Jesus is teaching in this moment is he's not just giving rest to people that are a little bit tired because they've had an 8-hour work day. The words he uses when he speaks to the people give the picture. It's actually labor, speaking of being so worked that you're exhausted and depleted. Where you're laboring and laboring, and you're so laboring and working that you get to the point of exhaustion, but you just keep on going. He's speaking of being heavy laden, where people are overwhelmed by a weight and by a burden, so much so that they are probably used to being hunched over for years upon years. People that are so burdened by trying to keep a religious checklist that they are so worked up and overwhelmed that they actually see their sin and it's so great and it just seems to become greater and greater because they can't actually earn what they're told they have to earn through a religious law. Jesus here is speaking to people that know what it's like to be depleted and exhausted and yet still having to go on and on. What he's speaking about is people in a spiritual, emotional, and possibly relational sense that are so used to living in a metaphorical wasteland. They're living in a wasteland, but they're trying to farm in a wasteland, and they're digging and they're sowing, but there's no rain and there's no reaping. It's a metaphorical sense of saying that someone is so parched that they can take drink after drink of water, and yet there's never a refreshment. Their tongues stuck to the top of their mouth. It's like you just try to get some refreshment through the religious law, through the commandments, or through working and striving, yet no matter what it is that you do, there's never rest in sight. Okay. What the people experience in this day can be a very real thing for you and I to this day. Where you and I take heavy loads of maybe trying to do good things or trying to strive to be seen as good before God, or actually in the workplace or at our home, and there's this spirit of just striving and hurrying, trying to attain to something that our soul is longing for. Yet Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. He's saying, don't search anywhere else. Come to me. So the question that I have for us today is, what, who, or where are you and I trying to find relief and rest? Because the rest Jesus speaks about is of relief. Bringing a rest to a heart that needs relief, a soul that is longing for fulfillment and longing for rest. What is it, where is it, and who is it that you're trying to find rest in today? Christ invites you and I to come to him to find rest and relief through him. Is that good news to anybody today?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. We'll all be able to say amen by the end of the day. So it's available to every single one of us. And yet there's something very clearly in the invitation of Jesus. There's something that's required of us. You might be thinking, well, it's a little bit of a contradiction, though. Just come with me on a journey, I think. Is that good? Is that okay? See, what's required of us for to really live in the rest and experience the rest that Jesus is talking about is that we have to take his yoke upon us. It's required that we have to come to him, take his yoke upon us, and learn from him. Jesus says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, for anyone that's not familiar with an agricultural culture or tools, a yoke was a big wooden heavy piece of machinery that was used to yoke or connect two oxen together. And so they take an ox, and they yoke them with another ox. And what it was for is to actually make their plowing and what they needed the ox to do more effective and fruitful. And so Jesus is speaking to a culture that knew what a yoke was. And he's saying to them, take my yoke upon you. What that means is that the people were already yoked to something different.
Yeah, it's good.
And Jesus is saying, now, what's required of you is that you're going to have to allow yourself to be unhooked from what you've been yoked to and to take on a new yoke. He's saying you need to actually be yoked to me. And so what's required is that you and I, when it comes to Christ, we have to be willing to take his yoke upon us. Jesus won't force anything upon you or I. It has to be a willing decision to come under him in relationship with him, to abide in relationship with him, but then to also continue by being learning in the things of God. He says, take my yoke upon you. And here Jesus is contrasting his teachings to the religious teachings of the day. See, the religious teachers had put heavy burdens upon the people. In Matthew 23, Jesus says they put weight upon weight. They put block upon block. They put another thing upon the people, and yet they're not even willing to lift anything with their fingers. And so the yoke Jesus is thinking about, Steph, is not a physical wooden heavy block that he's saying, okay, when you wake up on your Monday, Monique, I want you to just go and find a yoke and put it on yourself and walk around with the yoke all day and just imagine I'm standing next to you. No, that would be crazy. Don't do that. What he's speaking about metaphorically is his yoke is his teaching. And so he's saying, my teaching you need to take upon you. And you need to take it upon you and actually learn from me. See, we have to learn things of God. Like all of us know, when we said yes to Jesus Christ, we didn't instantly have a download into our head through a spiritual hard drive of every single word of God, every single principle of the things of God. There is a requirement for you and I to actually be transformed in our thinking, to be renewed in our spirit, and to actually learn the things of God. You hear me today?
It's good.
Say, learn.
Learn.
The things of God.
Exactly.
See, the teachings of the religious leaders were putting heavy weights upon the people, and yet the law of Moses, the law of God, wasn't meant to be something that the people were trying to carry themselves in their own weight. From day dot, it was intending for the people of God to realize their need for a Savior. That no matter how hard they strive, no matter how hard they work, they would still not be able to attain to the rest that their soul longed for. And so they began to see it in a picture that was not the picture that God intended for them. See, allegiance or followership to Jesus and his kingdom is not meant to be one of burdensome weight where we strive and we strive and we strive. Following Jesus Christ is meant to free us to be in a place where we're meant to have joyfulness in our co-labor with him. We're meant to have a peace despite what is happening around about us because we are yoked, we are attached, we are abiding in him. Jesus says, learn from me. Amen. See, the thing about learning, just like taking something upon us, is it's not automatic. I'm not sure how many of us sat in the classroom. Kirk, I'm not sure how many students you've had in classroom that just sat there looking like this at the person speaking. You guys wouldn't do that to me ever. And just thought, I'm just going to sit here, and everything that's being spoken about is just going to be learned into my brain. Learning is not an automatic thing. But the good thing is, it is available.
Yeah, it's good.
And it can be had by you and I, regardless of our education, regardless of our physical state, regardless of our financial background. Learning is not automatic, but it is available. And Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. And so he's saying to us that when we actually begin to learn more of his heart and the things of his word, we're not going to strive harder. We're going to be able to rest longer, where we have a rest in our soul. See, I think many Christians are at a place where they think that they can actually sign up for a class that's different than the things of God and learn and say that they're living for God. They're like, God, what are you talking about? Well, if you wanted to learn Italian, Jason, you wouldn't sign up for German-speaking classes, would you? No. You can tell people, hey, I'm trying to learn Italian. I really want to learn Italian. I love the country of Italy. But if you're signing up for German-speaking classes, guess what? You're going to learn German. Or at least you're not going to learn Italian, that's for sure. And you know, I think many of us, at different points in our time, think we can sign up to the ways of the world and learn from a celebrity, or learn from the news, or learn from opinions that we grew up with, and still think that we can actually live in the way that God's called us to live. We can't sign up for classes of the world and expect to be taught things of the kingdom.
It's good.
Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. I want to ask you today, are you willing to learn a new way of living? Because for us as believers, there's very practical ways that we apply learning things of God. The greatest way is the daily relationship that we engage in with Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father, being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Through prayer, through the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, through worship, you and I can begin to learn the things of God deeper and deeper. Number one, if we engage in a daily devotion, a daily relationship with our Lord and Savior. See, being yoked to someone means you're actually attached to them. You're attached to them, and where they go, you go. And so everywhere that we go is meant to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it begins and continues in a daily devotion to God. Past that, it's built upon coming together corporately. So yes, coming together on a Sunday for a service. Yes, going to prayer services and other corporate gatherings. And yet I think one of the primary ways that many believers fail to engage in, and yet it's the primary and most consistent way with other believers to actually learn the things of God, is by being in a life group.
Yeah.
Because it's in a life group where we're sitting down at a home, a cafe, a park, or some other place, and we're having a conversation about our struggles. We're having a conversation about how Pastor Don was speaking from Matthew 11 about rest, and I just fully don't understand that concept yet. Or someone was talking about water baptism, and I don't even know what that is. That might as well be German to me as an English speaker. And it's in a life group that we can begin to have discussion and learning, where we're growing together past just thinking that we're expected to know everything, and we begin to go deeper in the things of God, and we begin to learn together about following Jesus. And so I just want to tell you right now, if you weren't in a life group in 2021, 2022 is the year for you to join a life group. Not just 2022, but for the rest of your life, because it is the primary and most consistent way that you and I are discipled, by being in intimate relationship with other believers in the things of God. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. See, Jesus Christ promises that the result of taking his yoke upon us and learning from him is rest. And he's not just speaking about physical rest, he's speaking about rest for our souls. And the reason why we can have rest in Christ is because his work is finished. In Genesis 2, we see that after creation, God rested on the seventh day. And it wasn't because he was tired, it wasn't because he needed a little bit of a nap in the afternoon. No, he rested to put an eternal principle in place that his work in creation was finished. And then for you and I, as we heard in communion today, through Jesus Christ, because of his life and death, his crucifixion upon the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. The work for salvation, for righteousness, is finished. Jesus declares in John 19 that when he was upon the cross with his arms stretched wide, he said, "It is finished." So for you and I, when it comes to the rest that Jesus speaks about for our souls, can only be found in Christ. But it's experienced daily if we continue to learn the principles that he's called to live by. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, at the core of every human being is the soul that God's created us with. And our soul longs for rest. It longs for contentment and fulfillment. And we all go through life searching and trying to grasp and attain things to bring that rest to our soul. But like I spoke last week around peace, which is God's gift of wholeness, everything in the world is like fairy floss, and it's there a moment, but then it's gone. The only person and place that you and I can find rest in is in Jesus Christ. "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus promises rest for all those who come to him and learn from him. It might seem like a contradiction to us to think, well, how is it rest if we're learning and we're following? Like, if we're walking somewhere and we're still engaging in the learning process, how can that actually be rest? And I'm going to share with us in just a moment, but the reason why it can be rest for us is because God is speaking about something that's past a physical state. He's speaking, as I said, to our souls, and it's requiring of us to actually know that Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Being attached to him is not meant to overwhelm us, and his ways aren't meant to restrict us. They're actually meant to free us. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And it might seem like a contradiction to us, but what we just really need today, Brendan, is a little bit of a redefinition of the word rest. Yeah. Do you want a little bit of a redefinition of the word rest?
Yeah.
Okay. See, what we've been taught to believe in our culture is that rest is after you've had a long day of work, sitting on your couch, feet kicked up, with a bag of chips, and a can of Coke. Or when you're able to get on a plane and fly to an island, far, far away from work and all the worries of the world, and have a chill drink in a hammock under a palm tree. And our world markets and wants us to believe that rest is a picture more of tranquility and quietness and stillness than anything else. And yet what Jesus is teaching us, it's not quite so. It's actually something greater than that. Not for kicking back on the couch and hanging out, relaxing, but that's relaxing. That's not relief or the rest that Jesus is talking about. See, he says, "Take my yoke upon you." And as already mentioned, a yoke was for working. It was for ox that were in work. They were laboring. And so the picture that we get isn't one of complete relaxing, doing nothing. No, the picture that we get, oh, this is awesome. The picture that we get is Jesus saying, if you would come and co-labor with me, you're going to be able to have a peace and a rest even while you're at work crunching those numbers, or even while you're changing that nappy, or even while you're teaching a group of high school students that don't seem to really care about what you're saying to her. And he's saying, if you'd be willing to actually put off the burden that you were carrying, trying to strive in righteousness or strive for perfection or strive for approval, and you're attached to me, residing in me, one, you're going to get peace, you're going to have wholeness, but you're also going to be able to work harder in a way than you were before, because you're working not for attainment, you're actually working from a place of relief. It's a picture of being attached to Jesus Christ, where he is carrying the weight. He is carrying the load, and it's in him that he says, hey, I've already carried the weight of the world. Why are you trying to carry it upon your shoulders? It's like that driver saying to the old man in the back, you've been trudging a long time. Would you let go of that weight? Because my truck can carry you and your burden. And I believe that Jesus wants you and I to live as followers of him, where we are able to go about our life no matter what it is that we're doing, and where there's been a wearisome toil, we have a rejoicing in laboring. Because when we're co-laboring with Christ, we won't work a day of our life.
Yeah.
Because it says, I will carry you. I will carry the weight. I will carry the burden. But for you and I, it comes to a place where we need to have a redefinition of what rest is. Because if we're trying to only get rest a holiday, a year, or a day, a week through physical relaxation, it's not bad, it's good, but we are going to go through life the next day, the next year, the next relationship, or the next job completely distressed because we're trying to gain something that we can only attain through Christ himself. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There's a bumper sticker I saw recently, and I started laughing at myself. Because it said, the worst day fishing is still better than the best day working. And I was laughing, I was like, fishing would sound like a lot of work to some people. And you can go ahead and come on. But when I saw that, it really began to kick in this thought in me, because I'm looking at that, and I was reading that, and I read it again, and again, and again, and again, and I just felt Holy Spirit prompt my heart and say, Don, is there any way in life where relaxing or choosing to be apart from what I've called you to is your idea of what life is about? See, the culture of our world would tell us that just work so that you can actually truly live by going on holidays. And you can only have rest when you're not doing anything. But I believe one of the greatest revelations that Christ invites us to live in each and every day is to have rest in the midst of our labor. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for all of us, because one of the greatest revelations I'll have is that Jesus is my friend. And there's days and there's times and there's weeks and months where I come to a point of exhaustion. And I'm not speaking of physical exhaustion, because I think most of all of us will be feeling that this year at some point. But so we need to have moments of relaxation and rest and refreshment. And yet, I'm talking about points in my life where there's an exhaustion. It just feels like I'm striving, and I'm trying to make something happen. I'm trying to do what I think is right and purposeful. And what I feel today for you is often those moments God speaking to me is, son, daughter, would you just rest? Because it doesn't matter how much you strive, you're not going to be able to attain to even the fruitfulness and ministry that I've called you to when you just rest and abide in me. And as we come into a new year, where some of us are on holidays, or will be on holidays, I pray that the greatest revelation that we would hold on to this year, apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, is he's called us to have rest for our souls. Today, if you've been striving to be in a place to be seen by God as acceptable, if you've been striving even in areas of life like family or work, would you take the invitation of God today to have his yoke upon you? To learn from him and to find rest for your souls. See, following Jesus Christ to turns wearisome toil and labor into joyfulness, into excitement, into laughter, and even in times of grief, into moments of peace and rest, because we know who we're yoked to. And we know that the pieces that seem to be before us are not requiring of us to pick up and put back together, but to bring to Him, to know that He carries us and He is with us. Jesus said to the crowds and His disciples, "Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Philippians 2 declares that it's God who works in us both to desire and will to do His good things. To desire and will to do good things, but then the ability to actually do them. It says God will continually revitalize you and plant within you the passion and the ability to do what pleases Him. Can you hear the invitation of God today? To live by His Holy Spirit, to rest. And the reality is we're going to come to a point past this moment, past today, where we're going to have the decision before us whether we're going to choose to be yoked to previous habits and ways of living, and the burden of trying to earn righteousness with God, or to remind ourselves and declare that we've been set free through Jesus Christ and He is with us. Would you all stand? There was a missionary named John, and he saw a tribal farmer who was training a young ox to walk under a yoke. And the farmer put the yoke on the neck of an older, experienced ox, and then he laid it on the shoulders of the youngster. And they all set off towards the jungle. And as soon as the older ox took a step forward, the younger ox resisted. He planted his feet and writhed and wiggled around. The old ox quietly stopped and waited for the younger ox to calm down. Finally, once the young ox stopped squirming, the old ox took another step. Again, the young ox began to squirm and writhe about under the yoke. And in that moment, the yoke scraped both of the shoulders. Again, it's a wooden, heavy cross beam that was upon two of them. So the young one began to squirm, and every time he squirmed, it began to scrape across both of their shoulders. Again and again, the farmer began to be towed. The two beasts made a mutually painful journey. They were still awkwardly moving forward when John's missionary finally went to bed. And then the next day, John woke up in the morning. He looked towards the jungle, and he saw the two oxen moving together with ease as they approached the village. The student, younger ox, had learned to match his teacher's steps and share in his pace, and the yoke was now comfortable for them both. Church, Jesus Christ has called us to be yoked to Him. And at times in our life, we're kind of like that younger ox, where maybe the learning of the things of God can seem uncomfortable or different, or even maybe a little bit strange, to be honest, at times. And we begin to write and squirm and move about. But what we need to know and see is Christ is still there. He's waiting. Quietly, Jesus declares, "I am lowly and gentle in heart." He is humble, He's waiting, and He's at rest. Today, I pray that maybe we be the type of followers who stop wrestling with our Lord and Savior Jesus and begin to surrender our life, surrender our serving, surrender our living for Him, not causing ourselves greater pain than what is necessary. Would you receive the invitation of Jesus today to enter into His rest, to take his yoke upon yourself, to make the decision that you're not going to live by the opinions of yourself or the world, but finding out the things of God, living by the foundation of his word, that we wouldn't actually seek after the approval of people or other things before going to first God and seeking him in prayer, that we would choose to decide that making disciples isn't optional, but it's our mandate, it's our great commission, it's our way of life, that you and I would begin to learn more and more that a way of living supernaturally in God is the normal life that he's called us to, that giving in all that we do is actually from a place of generosity, and we will begin to experience a belonging in the things of God, belonging in the people of God, belonging with God, not because we have strived for it, but because we have simply received the invitation of Jesus to enter into his rest. I began by telling you that this, I believe, will change the rest of your life. And I'm fully convinced that it will, because it's changed my life. Step back and know that the Lord is in control. Be still, don't fret. Would you receive his rest today? We're going to worship. I believe there's already been weights that have begun to be lifted. Hearing the words of Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Church, the invitation is to all. Would you just stretch out your hands? The invitation is open to all, but the decision is yours. Will you choose not only in this moment, but in this moment to begin to live in the relief and rest of God? Relationship with him transforms the way that we perceive life, transforms meaningless and wearisome labor and work into a place of spiritual purpose and fruitfulness. So right now as we worship, Hannah's going to begin, but I want to ask us to actually not straight away begin to sing these words. Because as she's singing these words, I really just believe that we're going to begin to hear the voice of God inviting us to a place where the deepest craving of our soul begins to have relief from the weights of this world and the burdens of this world. And then at a point where there's a weight that's lifted, a joyfulness, something that comes upon you, I just pray that you continue in that path today. So right now, Hannah's going to begin to sing these words over us. And I want you just to be still, be quiet. You need to sit down and sit down. But then at a point, we're all going to join together in adoration and worship through words of this song.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.